Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join us in our mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
Hello and welcome to the Amplify Your Process Safety podcast. My name is Rob Bartlett. In this episode, I'm happy to be joined by Tim Murphy of Arkema Inc., which is a chemical manufacturer based in Paris that has many facilities in the United States. A few notes about Tim. Tim has a master's in chemical engineering from Widener University. He started his career working for Merck as a process safety engineer. He had a short stint as a consultant before heading back into the chemical industry to work for Sonoco as a lead process safety engineer. He's worked for Arkema for the last 10 years in various process safety roles and is currently their process safety manager, in which he's responsible for overseeing the PSM and RMP compliance for more than 25 Arkema facilities in the Americas. He invested his COVID time last year to obtain his Certified Process Safety Professional certification from CCPS. And a fun fact about Tim is that he is the number one beer connoisseur that I know and will happily show you his beer tracking app, which has documented more than 2,000 beers that he's tried since 2014, which is always with him on his iPhone. So with that, I will welcome you to the podcast, Tim.
Hey, Rob, thank you very much for having me today.
So although we both would probably like to talk about your 2,000 beers, and we also probably should add that that's only since 2014, does not include what you had before, huh?
No, sir. It has no reflection on my tolerance of alcohol or overindulgence.
Well, let's leave the beer and let's turn to process safety. So when we were talking about doing this podcast and trying to figure out what would be some good things for us to talk about, there's a bunch of different ways that you and I could go. But I thought that a good one for our audience would be focused on the fact that your role at Arkema as the process safety manager for the company means that you sit in their headquarters in King of Prussia, which is outside of Philadelphia. And you've got to manage the process safety activities at 25 or more sites. And in fact, you're saying earlier that, you know, as new companies come in, new sites come in, you know, that's going to fall under your umbrella. So I thought that we would kind of focus the episode here on that. But before we kind of move to those sorts of challenges, I thought that we could start with your career. And primarily, an interesting thing is that you started right into process safety. A lot of people kind of get into process safety as kind of almost an accident of their career, which is kind of what happened with me. I started off working many, many years in operations. And then, you know, here I am now a process safety consultant. So I'm curious, how did you get started in process safety? And also, why did you stay there?
Well, I'd say it was a surprise to me when I fell into process safety, because it was maybe 1 or 2 years after I came out of college. And I'll blame the job market at the time for not being very friendly to most chemical engineers in the late 90s, I'll say. So I took a role as a contract engineer doing some work for the Army in New Jersey, closing a base. And I was working in a lab. As that job was wrapping up, someone informed me that the Merck site in West Point, Pennsylvania was hiring some engineers. It was also through a contracting company. But when they hired me, they said the role is as a safety person. And I said, hey, I can do anything you want me to do. I took the job as what they said, a safety person.
Okay.
But it really was a surprise process safety role at Merck's research facility in West Point, Pennsylvania. So I started right away to start facilitating PHAs, helping to draw and walk down P&IDs in preparation for PHAs. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I would help develop the PM plans on all the safety critical devices and equipment that we identified. So, you know, it was surprising to me what I was doing, but I really embraced it. It was different than traditional engineering. I wasn't a process engineer. I wasn't calculating flows and balances and energy consumption of chemical plants. But I felt like I was doing a huge benefit to the company executing these PHAs, helping to draw, to put the drawings together. That was even an exciting part of that role, was walking utility systems down or strange processes that pharmaceuticals use. I'm not sure if you're familiar with lyophilizers. Or
I don't know. I do not know what a
autoclaves.
I do know autoclaves.
I was walking autoclaves down and putting P&IDs together for them, identifying all the valves, working with the CAD folks to put those P&IDs together. And then I would facilitate the PHA. And by walking the process down, being able to talk to operators about what the process does, it made me that much stronger as a facilitator of the PHA. And it was just all worked together. And I really loved it.
You loved it.
And then, you know, at that time, there was a shift in the worker work balance, or the worker focus at Merck, where they were transitioning away from such a large contractor force and hiring a lot more people. But the contractors that they had already, they couldn't hire all of them. So I was unfortunately one of the guys that wasn't going to be hired. Mm-hmm. But my lifeline was Accutech Consulting, who hired me. And I got into process safety consulting with them. It was just seemed like a natural progression for me, enjoying the PSM aspects at Merck. I went to Accutech, and it opened my eyes, because it was more than just PHAs and P&ID drawings and PMs that I enjoyed. It was a lot more to it. I got familiar with RMP at the time, and the risk management plan, and the modeling and the requirements around that, and then auditing programs and helping develop operating procedures. You know, it just, everything just seemed so new to me. And I felt like this is where I need to be.
This is where
I never questioned it. You know, after Merck introduced me to it, Accutech really helped me appreciate all of this that's going on with process safety and the requirements to help make operations safe. And that's really, I think, what I really enjoyed the most, was knowing that the work I was doing was helping plants be a safer place to work and a better citizens in the community. So as much of a tagline as that seems, it's true. That's what I really appreciated about process safety early on and even to this day, and why I stayed for so long. You know, I really wanted to be someone that can help make chemical plants safer and friendlier places to work. And no one else wanted to do process safety work, so I took that I took it all on my shoulders and said, I'll carry it all, folks. I'll do it all.
And you have. It's funny, because not funny, but I think that hearing you talk about that, you know, I think that's why you and I tend to be so aligned on things, because that's why you know, regardless of the history and how we got into it, that's why I stayed in it, is because I do get that sense of satisfaction from helping to make processes safer and, you know, prevent people from getting hurt, people from getting killed. I definitely feel that. So, okay. So you've had a long career in process safety. So you're currently in this corporate manager role. You've been there now for a few years. I'm curious about, and I think it would be interesting to talk about, what are the challenges that you have in managing the PSM and RMP programs for facilities all around the country, you know, from that corporate location? So what are the challenges that you have, and maybe how do you manage them as you try to, you know, kind of work your desire to like save lives and keep people safe on such a grand scale?
Well, I think probably the biggest challenge is the fact that each site is different, right? We have plants in different business units or in different states, but each plant still maintains its own identity, its own budget, its own management. So each plant is run separately, and then I'm an outsider trying to influence them to maintain their compliance, which is always difficult because I don't have control of their budget or a budget of my own to help provide the resources that they need. So it's more that, you know, my ability to influence people is really a challenge, because I can have phone calls with people, I can have Teams video calls with people, but the real big thing is getting people, you know, really charging people up and motivating them to push that PSM program further along and have that drive in and of themselves to make the compliance program that much better.
So do you find that motivational aspect of your job, is that more like you have trouble motivating them just to comply, or maybe to like, yeah, maybe their systems kind of barely comply, but you know, they really need to be stronger. And so it's, I don't want to say like go beyond compliance, but maybe, you know, maybe that is kind of where I'm going. So is it the fact that people need to comply because OSHA and EPA say they have to? Is that not enough?
It's not always enough. It's because, again, and Rob, you know this from being at a manufacturing facility, there's competing priorities.
Really? I thought the only reason you're there is to meet the OSHA and EPA requirements. No?
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah.
No, there's always competing priorities. So, and imagine being in a larger corporation where the competing priorities are even more diverse. And, right. And that's where I fall in. I'm an outside force trying to have an influence on the plant itself to implement programs and try to move the needle, as we say, in our compliance programs. So I find that not being there 100% of the time, not being in the room with people all the time, being able to interface with them and really understand the culture they're working in or the actual challenges they're faced with from their management is really a tough place to be for a corporate process safety manager.
Well, and with so many sites, I mean, if you had a couple of sites, you probably could spend, you know, 3 or 4 days there, you know, every month anyway. But yeah. with so many sites, you can't even hit all of them in a year.
No, that also tends to be a challenge as well, as I have to get them on a schedule, and either between my two employees and I, we have to mix and match the visits and try to balance it. But then I always feel like I need to understand the situation at my plants and understand the people and get to know them personally, because I feel like having that rapport and the relationships with folks and our engineers at the plants or even plant managers, you know, mm-hmm. really goes a long way to being able to help the programs move where, you know, personal relationships I feel within my company really help get people motivated to do things for you.
Well, I think that goes without saying. I mean, that's, you know, whether you're trying to get them to do, you know, to be compliant or trying to find, you know, budget for some special project that you think that you need or something, I mean, there's always having relationships definitely helps. So how do you make sure that the folks are doing what they're supposed to do? So you know, we've got, you know, 14 elements of PSM. We have similar plus more requirements for RMP. Lot of different stuff that people are supposed to do. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, if at one of your sites, OSHA or EPA come knocking, you know, Tim Murphy gets a call saying, hey, they're here, we need you to fly down or mm-hmm. whatever, get on a call. So now you're a little bit in the hot seat. You're not the plant manager, but you're the process safety manager for the site, for the company. So, you know, how do you make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Well, I'll say we do have regular contact with our plants and the process safety points of contact, we call them, at each site. So someone at each site has been identified as the process safety point of contact, and they're really the engineer or the safety representative at the site that is going to be our champion of process safety in that facility. So we, you know, I set up quarterly conference calls with all the sites. So we get together for a couple of hours. You know, we talk through some of the initiatives that we currently have ongoing at this within the company mm-hmm. that are driving improved compliance. We also will do some best practice sharing during those calls. We'll review some or do like small training sessions, because I feel mm-hmm. like, you know, if you can get more of these site engineers or site people talking with each other, they can build networks and build collaborative teams with themselves, and then we can spread the understanding and some of the best practices, which I think makes implementing PSM a little easier when you actually have practical feedback from sites that have been successful at it. Then they can share their experiences with the sites that are challenged. Sure. And then maybe the sites that are having challenges can say, I can kind of see how, you know, we can implement something similar here. And then it will help make that compliance aspect a little easier.
So if I'm at a site, you know, and I'm on your team, number one, I'm guessing I'm not necessarily a PSM guru. I've probably been voluntold that I've got to be on these calls. So, okay, well, you know, that's kind of normal. But I would think that, you know, there's a couple ways that, let's say, best practices, right? You know, the way site X does MOCs, they do a really good job, and it benefits them in these ways. So that can either be distributed through your network, through the different sites from you, you know, hey, you know, here's a description of what this plant X is doing. You should consider doing it. Or you can have someone from plant X kind of say, this is what we're doing, and this is why it's awesome, actually telling people what their experiences are. So do you think that provides some benefits to it, kind of get people to move?
I think it does. You know, just from the, I'm a bad guy, I'll say, from the viewpoint of a lot of plant folks, because I'm the manager on the corporate side telling us to do things.
Yeah.
You know, I can only go so far and say, you know, we have to improve in this aspect of the PSM compliance, but I can utilize and leverage certain people at some plants that have been very successful to help inspire or influence the others to say it is possible at my site, because they may have seen it as a mountain to climb and it's so overwhelming, we can't get it done. But then when one plant says, no, it's really manageable, all we have to do is this, and then they could say, oh, can we, let's have another phone call between them so that they can work it out and then implement a program that works. So we're starting to see more of that, Rob, is sites sharing with other sites where they can leverage best practices from one site at another site. And even more than that, it just starts to trickle around all the sites that we have, that they start to see that there's benefits of sharing information and learning from each other.
Well, and it's you know, if you see it as a big, huge mountain, and then someone comes say, hey, I've climbed the mountain, so yes, I can, not only can I tell you it's doable, but I also can give you the path, show you the exact path that I followed with, you know, here's the templates, or here's the procedure, or here's whatever. And now the amount of work that another site would need to do is significantly less. So that, I think that definitely sounds like a good tool. And do you find that, you know, I don't know how long you've been doing these sorts of calls or these meetings, but do you find that over time that people, I mean, there's a concept that I always think of as PSM IQ. And if you have any given facility or company, the higher that PSM IQ is, so the higher the general level of PSM knowledge is, the better it is and the safer that we are going to be, because people understand not just the regulation, but also like really the nuts and bolts of how to do process safety right. So do you think that, you know, if you've got, you know, the safety person at such and such a site that may be coming in with very little PSM specific knowledge, so do you think having this has really done a good job in improving that PSM IQ for Arkema?
It is part of the IQ building at the sites. You know, I'll say that my process safety forum really does help, and this has an added benefit. But we've also implemented multiple layers or levels of PSM training over the last few years, where we have a high level training that's the PSM, or we call the process safety boot camp, which is coordinated or actually facilitated by CCPS instructors for us at our. So we do
at your sites?
Yeah, we have one training session each year that's offered, and we bring in all of our new process engineers, our new plant managers into this training so that they can receive the most comprehensive, overwhelming 4-day process safety training from CCPS instructors.
Great.
And it's been customized for Arkema. Yeah, and that's really helped set the highest level of awareness and training of process safety management and programs at the company. And then we've implemented even lower, more detailed training below that. So there's another level of training that we've been implementing for our frontline leadership. Another one that we're implementing now, well, COVID, our pandemic has kind of set us back, but we had another one called Process Safety Bootcamp for Operators, which is a more concise 4 to 6 hour training session, really highlighting operational readiness and operational discipline and how the operators and maintenance employees really are the key to successful implementation of process safety. So we don't beat them over the head with regulations and we don't talk to them about PSI and making sure your P&ID is correct. We really want to talk to them about, you know, making sure your safe work permits are done correctly, your job turnovers correctly, you walk the line, you know, you respect your procedures and use your procedures when you're doing jobs. And we're finding that these multiple layers of approach of our process safety training is really helping to change the
culture,
PSMIQ, as you say it, within the company. And now that's helping to drive a competency level in the company. I'll say a culture as well. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, you know, working with these site contacts, we're building out them as more accountable and responsible for the PSM programs at the site. And they're the ones that are helping through the learnings between the different plant members on this group that they're sharing best practices and implementing them. So now, when a plant manager, I say, has been through the training and awareness of how important process safety is, plus the supervisors, plus operators
and maintenance.
Now,
folks,
when you bring an engineer in and they start talking about, oh, we have to do this to comply, I think all those pieces are going to start working together and start jiving for us. So I'm really happy to see where we're going with the training development. I think it's really going to help our engineers implement better programs that are more sustainable and successful.
I mean, that's two things. First off, you know, training like that and the communications from your team, it's just a virtuous cycle. You know, you get more people talking about it and they know more. So they do more talking about it and it just improves things. And I really like what you're doing with, you know, with the training at the different, like literally focused at the different levels. You don't see that in many places, that I've been. And, you know, you've got your PSM, you know, your overview, you know, sort of training. You've got maybe some very kind of compliance jargon specific training that's given, but actually doing it at the different levels for different folks, I think is fantastic. So, I guess the one other thing that I'm curious about, you know, you sit there in King of Prussia, well, when we're not all being remote because of COVID. So your office is generally in King of Prussia, corporate headquarters. You're generally dealing with corporate headquarters sorts of people. How does that work from your standpoint of trying to manage process safety? I mean, at the end of the day, if I'm a business manager or a VP or anybody like that, and I've got a site and there's a process safety incident, it's going to be a bad day. It's probably going to be a bad month and likely going to be a bad year, maybe longer. But there's a lot of people in those positions that don't necessarily think in those terms. So I would think that it's kind of your part of your job to kind of get people to think about these things that maybe they're like, you know, no, I got to focus on the bottom line. You're like, well, if something happens, you know, there won't be a bottom line to, you know, for you to worry about. So I'm curious, you know, how do you manage that the corporate side of things in your role?
To speak about that, you know, where there's the, you know, we do take opportunities from my position and I do engage with what we'll call our manufacturing directors or the manufacturing committee, who are like the top managers that are the business line managers for each of the departments or each of the business units. So I have the opportunity to go and speak to them as well and talk to them even before we go and talk to the plants about gaps that we identify or new procedures or new policies that we need to implement. We go to them first. We make them abundantly clear to them that this is a new program that we need to implement. This is the why, you know, whether, and then we have to do it, and we have to speak about how much it will cost to implement something like that so that they understand there's a price tag with compliance. Generally, it's not free.
if only it were free.
But, you know, we're using the top-down and bottom-up approach. So we go to the top managers, talk to them in dollars and cents, and we talk to them about the importance of the compliance or the programs that we want to implement. And then we go to the plants, and we start talking to them through my network, percolating it from the bottom up and the top down so that the managers will talk to the plant managers while the engineers will talk to the operators and the supervisors, and then they meet halfway. And I find that things are actually going very well there. So there's, and I think a lot of it may be a product or even a result of the fact that I've been with Arkema for 10 years and I've earned some respect, some, you know, just some seniority in the company where people don't look at me and roll their eyes and say, oh, you again, you've got this, you're this our PSM compliance officer. You know, they see me as a valuable input and somebody that doesn't automatically run to them with some compliance issue or some regulatory thing that something that has to be implemented. They say, oh, Tim's here again. So we'll give him the chance to speak to us today. And they do listen and they do really appreciate it. You know, I'll get challenged. I'm not going to say everything's easy. Right. There will be some challenges, which sometimes will make me go back to the drawing board and say, how can I do a different sales pitch or pitch this differently? But I'll say more often than not, we're pretty successful. And I think it's my management team as well that is so supportive of this. And the company is so supportive of this that we don't really see as much pushback as maybe in the years past.
Good, good. Yeah, and I would think that you've been there, as you say, you've been there for 10 years, and you know, having the reputation of someone who knows what they're doing and doesn't come yelling every time that the sky is falling, and has, you know, actionable, well thought out solutions to problems that they may not know that they have, but if they don't address them, they will at some point. I'm sure that must help. So I think we're coming up on kind of towards the end here, and I guess that maybe as somebody who's been in process safety for basically your whole career, I'm curious, what advice do you have for early career folks who are considering, you know, kind of focusing on process safety, or maybe, you know, they've started in process safety and they're like, you know, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? You know, those sorts of things. What sort of advice would you give somebody who is early career?
I would say to any early career engineer that is considering if process safety is the right path for them, give it a try. You know, take whatever opportunities they can to be involved in a process safety role, whether it's a short-term stay in a department and just give it like a trial. You know, what you would say is a rotating role through a safety or engineering group that does process safety. I think it's so important that engineers are aware of process safety early on in their career that, you know, they should stop in and take a part or take a role in that if they can, and then they can determine whether it's a place for them to be long term. You know, I fell into it surprisingly, but I really appreciated it and enjoyed what I can give back. So I keep learning things. So I'll say it's still good for me, but I've never really said what's good about this job that's going to help me. You know, I've always said I'm here to help my company, help industry, and try to promote it as best I can. And I feel like a lot of engineers can take things the same way. Mm-hmm. You just stop on in, take part in a process safety group someday, and really just keep your eyes open and just, you know, just enjoy it, because I think hopefully a lot of engineers will actually love it and be good ambassadors of PSM, at least if they don't stay in the group for long.
Well, and you know, my part of that, I think, and I echo what you say, but part of that as well is that, you know, the people who really led PSM in the early days of PSM, those folks are either have left already or are leaving. And we need people who are coming in and, you know, and are interested in becoming experts.
Yeah.
That aren't part of the development process, which happened in the late 80s and kind of the early 90s and such. But still, there's still, you know, we're still having accidents. You know, we still, you know, luckily they seem to be reducing, knock on wood. I hope that doesn't cause something to happen tomorrow, but that's only going to continue. We've got aging facilities. We have new processes. We have new chemicals, and we need to make sure that we keep having strong people coming behind those that are retiring. So,
and I believe some of our engineers too, as they're coming out of college or university, you know, they have this thought that process safety may only be about HAZOPs and doing PHAs, and most right. people dread those, and they say, oh, not another HAZOP. It's not. It's more than that, you know. PHA and that mind, that thinking, and that mindset of analyzing things is really at the heart of, I think, process safety, and it's in your practicing of it. You know, I'm not always auditing people. I'm not always doing regulatory compliance or talking regulatory jargon. You know, I'm helping people implement projects at the plants that are, you know, based on their case, you know, case by case, based on their situation. Based on the unique hazards of their plants. So I think that what young engineers don't realize is that in the long haul, process safety is a extremely exciting and very diverse field to be in. It's not always about doing HAZOPs, or it's not always about doing audits. It's about just being able to utilize an awareness of process safety and process hazards and help plants make smart decisions to solve and address those risks that are identified. And that's what I think a lot of engineers may miss out on by bypassing a process safety job. So any of those young engineers that are listening to the podcast today should really think about taking a role in process safety and experiencing it the way that I feel like where engineers will really appreciate it and love it.
Good. Fantastic. Well, I think that probably is a good place to stop. So Tim, thank you for joining us here. I appreciate your time and look forward. As we were saying earlier, there's other topics that we could talk for longer about. So maybe we'll be able to get you back on for a part two sometime. But thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rob. And happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
That is, we are recording this on St. Patrick's Day. Totally not. And as Tim told me earlier, maybe I should have put this as your fun fact that you're 61, according to your genetic analysis, you're 61% Irish. So happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I don't know when this will be out there, but happy St. Patrick's Day. So in closing, I'd like to thank all of you for listening. We do appreciate your support. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends about us. They can find us, and you can rate us at www.amplifyconsultants.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast fixed. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many, many, many other places. So if you'd like to give us some feedback, please don't hesitate. And until next time, please stay safe.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.